Radio.
A homily on the feast day of St. Lucy by Father Michael Destoux at the Retreat Day for Women held at the University of Notre Dame in December 2012.
St. Lucy, whose day of memorial is in the church today, was born in Cyprus with his sister, and she was born of a noble Greek parentage, brought up as a Christian by her mother, Letitia. Although Lucy wished to dedicate herself to God, her mother arranged a young pagan from a noble family to take her hand in marriage. Unknown to her mother at this time was the desire that was running through in Lucy's heart to consecrate her life to God. And during this time in the church, we can see that there's great martyrs who have given witness to the love of Christ. But then what happened was when the martyrdom began to subside, fewer people were losing their blood. Christians who had a great desire to give all for Christ then began to look for other ways in which they could give a supreme witness of their love for Him. And it's here that we can see how virginity for the sake of the kingdom began to become more and more popular. Very much attracted, Lucy was to this. And inside her heart, she often spoke of her longing to give herself as a sincere gift of herself in such manner to Christ. Her mother, who suffered from a hemorrhage, was persuaded to make a pilgrimage to Britannia to offer prayers at the tomb of St. Agatha. And as you may recall, St. Agatha was also a great martyr who consecrated her virginity to Christ. St. Lucy accompanied her mother, and their prayers for a cure were answered. Then Lucy made known to her mother the desire to give her own share of their fortune to the poor and to devote herself to God's service. Eutychia, her mother, in gratitude for her cure, gave her daughter her permission. This so angered the young man to whom Lucy had been unwillingly betrothed that he denounced her as a Christian to the governing passions. The persecutions instituted by the Emperor Diocletian were then at their height, a new wave of persecution. And when St. Lucy steadfastly clung to her faith, she was sentenced to prostitution in a brothel. We have a number of religious women who have consecrated their lives to Christ here in this church. Imagine what they would feel if they were condemned for as a reward for their faithfulness to Christ as a punishment, condemned to a brothel. Consider that, and you'll know exactly how St. Lucy felt. Her suitor denounced her in the hope that her moral fiber might be broken, and that she would perhaps enter into a sexual relationship with him. We might be angered by the way her suitor objectified her, but much of this objectification, unfortunately, continues today. The church needs more women who can stand up with great courage to voice their disapproval to such objectification. The ultimate form of witness in doing so is consecrating her life to God. So I would certainly hope that the great witness of the Sisters of Life, together with a number of other different sisters who are here today, from various different communities, may indeed be a great inspiration for more and more women to respond in likewise fashion, if not in the same location itself, to still recognize the integrity of a life well lived with the virtue of chastity. For such women who consecrate their virginity to Christ, do they renounce marriage on earth? Yes. Do they denounce marriage? No. Renounce it? Yes. Denounce it? No. In fact, we can say that while they do renounce marriage, they don't denounce it, they announce the ultimate meaning and purpose of marriage, which of course can only be seen through the eyes of faith, because it's that marriage that all of us ultimately long for, which is a marriage between Christ and His church. It's to this that saints such as St. Lucy give their great witness. God rendered St. Lucy immovable, and the Roman soldiers were not able to carry her off to a place of evil, even when they tied her to Oxford. Now you might think, oh, Father, this is just a myth, you know, it's all legend, you don't need to believe that stuff. But there is an uncanny kind of consistency between the saints, women who consecrated their virginity to Christ. So pleased must the Lord be with their spiritual spouse that we can see this happening, not just in St. Lucy, but other saints, such as St. Clare. A similar thing happened to her when her family tried to move her out of the church, wanted to dedicate her life to God, and they could not move her. Even when strong men came to move her, they could not lift her. Getting back to St. Lucy, an attempt was then made to burn her, put boiling oil and pitch all over her. But even these had no power to hurt her or break her strong spirit. At last she was put to death by the sword. At Rome in the 6th century, Lucy was honoured among the other Persian martyrs, and her name was entered into the canon of Mass in the Eucharistic prayer. So when we pray the Eucharistic prayer today, when we hear the name, I encourage you, I invite you to call out to her, St. Lucy, pray for us. When you hear her name, perhaps bring forward all of the longings of your heart, asking her during this time of your retreat to indeed to pray for your intentions. In the Middle Ages, she was invoked by a person suffering from eye trouble, perhaps because Lucy in Italian, Lucia, derives from lux, which is a Latin word for light. And we can see great significance of this. Not from our world, which we're down under, but up in Europe, we can see that this time of the year is the shortest time of the year. We see how the sun is shining the most dimmest during the middle of winter. And yet we can see that the light of the world shines most brilliantly when the light in this world shines the dimmest. And that light shines in a very spectacular way through saints, such as St. Lucy. So it's interesting that here is her name, which means light, and she's shining triumphantly in the days where the light is the dimmest. To conclude, St. Lucy, we can say she is no fool who gives up what she cannot keep to gain what she cannot lose. What is it that she is? What is it that she cannot keep? The marriage on earth was offered to her. But she renounced the marriage because she wanted to renounce the most significant of all the marriages, the marriage we cannot lose. And that's the eternal marriage with Christ for eternity. You may recall how Jesus said there's only one marriage. Why only one marriage? Because it's the marriage of all marriages. It's the marriage in which, of course, all of us ultimately long for, that intimacy, that depth of love and beauty that all of us aspire to, a tremendous witness that saints such as St. Lucy gives to us.
For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au. Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
No. Renounce it? Yes. Denounce it? No. In fact, we can say that while they do renounce marriage, they don't denounce it, they announce the ultimate meaning and purpose of marriage, which of course can only be seen through the eyes of faith, because it's that marriage that all of us ultimately long for, which is the marriage between Christ and His Church. It's to this that saints such as St. Lucy give their great witness. God rendered St. Lucy immovable, and the Roman soldiers were not able to carry her off to a place of evil, even when they tied her to Oxford. Now you might think, oh, Father, this is just a myth, you know, it's all legend, you don't need to believe that stuff. But there is an uncanny kind of consistency between the saints, by women who consecrated their virginity to Christ. So pleased must the Lord be with their spiritual spouse that we can see this happening, not just in St. Bruce, but other saints, such as St. Clare. A similar thing happened to her when her family tried to move move her out of the church, wanted a dedicated wife to God, and they could not move her. Even when strong men came to move her, they could not lift her. Getting back to St. Lucy, an attempt was then made to burn her, put boiling oil and pitch all over her. But even these had no power to hurt her or break her strong spirit. At last, she was put to death by the sword. At Rome in the 6th century, Lucy was honoured among the other Persian martyrs, and her name was entered into the canon of Mass in the Eucharistic prayer. So when we pray the Eucharistic prayer today, when we hear her name, I encourage you, I invite you to call out to her, St. Lucy, pray for us. When you hear her name, perhaps bring forward all of the longings of your heart, asking her during this time of your retreat to indeed to pray for your intentions. In the Middle Ages, she was invoked by persons suffering from eye trouble, perhaps because Lucy in Italian, Lucia, derives from lux, which is a Latin word for light. And we can see great significance of this. Not from our world, which we're down under, but up in Europe, we can see that this time of the year is the shortest time of the year. We see how the sun is shining the most dimmest during the middle of winter. And yet we can see that the light of the world shines most brilliantly when the light in this world shines the dimmest. And that light shines in a very spectacular way through saints such as St. Lucy. So it's interesting that here is her name, which means light, and she's shining triumphantly in the days where the light is the dimmest. To conclude, St. Lucy, we can say she is no fool who gives up what she cannot keep to gain what she cannot lose. What is it that she is, what is it she cannot keep? The marriage on earth was offered to her. But she renounced the marriage because she wanted to renounce the most significant of all the marriages, the marriage we cannot lose. And that's the eternal marriage with Christ for eternity. You may recall how Jesus said there's only one marriage. Why only one marriage? Because it's the marriage of all marriages. It's the marriage in which, of course, all of us ultimately long for, that intimacy, that depth of love and beauty that all of us aspire to, a tremendous witness that saints such as St. Lucy gives to us.
For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au. Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.